What's up, Gator Nation? Zach Albaverde from Gators Online. Welcome to the Gators Online show. And this week, we are previewing Florida versus LSU in the Swamp on Saturday. We'll be joined by Matthew Bruni from the Bengal Tiger, part of the On3 Sports Network, to preview this game, let you guys know some things about the Tigers, players to watch, the latest on what LSU's been up to this week, and preparation for their game in Gainesville. Before we jump into the show and have Matthew join us, I want to encourage all Florida fans out there to go check out Roback. For those who aren't familiar, they're completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback just released their new licensed game day collection, and it's fantastic. Novel polo designs, clean hoodies, Q-tip designs for your favorite schools, including the Florida Gators. Definitely worth checking out, and nobody on the marketplace has this level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Use the code GATORS20 on roback.com for a generous 20% off all new customers through the end of this fall. That's ROBAC.com. 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with the code GATORS20. And with that, we'll be joined now by Matthew from the Bengal Tiger. Matt, thanks for joining us this week, man. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Zach. Thanks for having me. I remember last year when we met in person in the press box and had a good time watching Jane Daniels go for like 700 yards.
Yeah, that was an amazing performance from him. And that was not a good day for Florida's defense. Maybe the potential for some of that again on Saturday with some of the injuries that they have. We'll get into all that. Just to kind of start for our listeners out there to just kind of get a rundown of the Tigers so far this year, what's been your thoughts on their season to this point? Obviously, they got off to a really good start in SEC play, were atop the league standings, and then the last two games have dropped to A&M and Alabama. Just your thoughts on their results so far as we lead into Week 12.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there was a time where they were, you know, 3-0 in conference and looking like they were at the top and in control, really. And even through the first half of the Texas A&M game, they were dominant, I would say. But over the last six quarters of football, A&M put in Marcel Reed and outscored them 31-6 in the second half in College Station. And then against Alabama, they were just completely outclassed, 42-13, with seven of those coming late. So 42-6 for most of the game. Yeah. So really, you have over the last six quarters of football, them just not looking anything like a top 15, top 20 team in the country, really. So yeah, this season's been definitely up and down. You have the close wins over Ole Miss and South Carolina, which at this point are the saving grace for this team, I'd say, because you lose either one of those, and obviously this is your 5-4 instead of 6-3. You have lost to USC to start the year, so it's definitely been hit or miss. This is not a perfect team by any means. This is probably, you know, not a top 20 team in the country at this point with the way they're playing on both sides of the ball. But I still think there's enough talent here to, you know, look at the rest of their schedule. This Florida game being the most challenging one left. And then they have Vanderbilt and Oklahoma at home.
A lot of players that we can get into on this LSU roster, but I'll start with the quarterback. The last name is the familiar one for Florida fans, the son of former Gators offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier. Garrett, I would say, makes his return to the Swamp, obviously a stadium that he's familiar with growing up in Gainesville for a period of his life. Has there any talk about that from him this week, or what do you feel like? Is there any emotions whatsoever going into this game for him because of that background?
Yeah, I think a little bit. It's funny because his dad's so well traveled. I mean, his dad was the OC at Alabama in 2012, so that game brought back some memories for him, and now Florida brings back some. Like, he's just, you know, been around football his whole life, seemingly, that it's really interesting.
Good point. Yeah. Now, what are your thoughts on his play so far this year? LSU's passing attack is obviously, rankings wise, has been one of the best in the country, and they've done a good job seemingly protecting Garrett, but he has had the interceptions issues, especially in the last two games. What do you make of his play right now?
Yeah, I mean, they've needed him to throw the ball a ton because the run game has been so abysmal, really. And he is among the leaders in the country in attempts this season. As a result, he's among the leaders in yards and touchdowns as well. But like you said, the interceptions have really started creeping up, especially in the past like 3-4 games. Ole Miss was, I mean, he had a couple against South Alabama, but the Ole Miss game was the real turning point to me where teams started, I think, figuring out this offense. And figured out, hey, they can't run the ball. They don't have the most explosive playmakers. Like, they don't have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas out there anymore. So we can maybe, you know, sit on them a little bit more. And Nussmeier's had to kind of press as a result. And without the run game to really balance things out, he's had so much on his plate. And, you know, even though the interceptions are untimely and they are costly, I really don't know what else this offense could expect considering the limitations that it's had. Like, he has so much on his plate, and at a certain point, he, you know, can't be perfect. It's his first year starting. We've seen that, you know, players go through ups and downs in these first years. So overall, I think he's been good. But the lack of a run game and the lack of, I say, explosiveness of this offense is just really, really jarring right now.
And Brian Kelly was asked on the SEC teleconference this week if there's been any consideration to making a change or at least giving another quarterback an opportunity in game for a series or two. And he basically shot that down and said, no, no way. How much has that been a talking point in Baton Rouge, either among fans, media members, and do you think that is something that would even be entertained?
It's been talked about for about 2 minutes every time he throws an interception. So every time he throws a pick, it's just get Ricky Collins in there. Or AJ Swan in there. No, it's not plausible. It's not feasible at all. He is still, in my opinion, one of, if not the best quarterback in the SEC. I know Milroe's been good with his legs recently. Dart's been very active. I put Nussmeier up against any of them. I don't think any quarterback I don't think any quarterback in the SEC would be thriving with the situation LSU is in right now with their run game, with the offensive line struggling. I mean, he has been the only bright spot, I would say, of this offense, him and Mason Taylor at tight end for a lot of the year. I mean, for him to have had to throw the ball 40 plus times repeatedly every single game almost, and to make something out of nothing. Yes, I mean, you can nitpick his inability to run, him forcing some throws, him maybe not taking the easy stuff. But at the end of the day, he's the only thing that's really given them a chance considering the limitations of this offense. I couldn't imagine, you know, having a backup like AJ Swan or Ricky Collins in the game. So yeah, it's not really on the table, but it is something that, you know, fans get mad about when he throws those interceptions.
For sure. Now, looking over on the defensive side of the ball, what have been your impressions from that unit and what they've shown so far?
They are a really good pressure defense. They're really good at creating havoc. The problem becomes when teams take a lead or when teams can run the ball consistently. They're not physical. They're not strong enough. Really, they're not experienced enough or talented enough, I'd say, to stop the run. We've seen, like I said, Marcel Reed came in the game in the second half, threw two passes, and they scored 31 points. Jalen Milroe only attempted 18 passes for like 110 yards, and they scored 42 points. Like, if you can run the ball effectively on LSU, South Carolina, another example, arguably, you know, almost won that game with Lenore Sellers in that run game. This defense has to be playing from ahead most of the time. And again, this is all complimentary. You know, if the offense plays well, the defense gets the pass rush and so on. But the defense has, I'd say, really good athletes in terms of their pass rusher. Braden Swinton's been one of the better ones in the entire SEC. Savion Jones is good. They have like Whit Weeks, who can create some havoc as well, like he did against Arkansas. But overall, they're not fundamentally sound enough, and they're just not really up to the standard that, you know, LSU wants to have.
Do you think that's a concern potentially for them going against a Florida offense that, even without Montrell Johnson, has had success running the ball with, you know, Jaden Baugh, Jacoby Jackson, and and maybe even Montrell plays this week.
Yeah, that's it's definitely been the biggest concern for me from this standpoint. And like I said, if LSU doesn't get off to a good start, if LSU, you know, plays a tight game or even falls behind, then it becomes an even bigger issue for this defense. You know, you know better than me in terms of Lagway, like what percentage he's at. But if Lagway can run at all, I think it's an even bigger question for LSU in this game, because like I said, running quarterbacks have given them fits, whether it's by design or by scrambling. So Lagway is a part of this, but even the traditional run game is something I'm going to have to see LSU stop consistently in order to feel good about it. So that is where I think Florida has will have to have an advantage in this game.
And that was a big storyline that came out with this game on Thursday night. For folks that missed it, I don't think you've been living under a rock if you're listening to this pod and haven't heard the news by now. But DJ Lagway cleared for the game, as well as Elijah Badger, who ranks second nationally in yards per reception. And as Florida fans know, one of DJ's strengths has been the deep ball, and a lot of them have been to Elijah. How susceptible has LSU's secondary been to deep balls, to quarterbacks that like to push the ball downfield? And is that a concern for them potentially with those guys back in the lineup?
I think it's definitely a concern. You know, they've been kind of hit or miss at times. I think Zy Alexander at corner has been solid this year. They don't have great athletes in the back end. Their safety position, I don't think, is nearly where LSU wants it to be. At corner, they have good players, but not great athletes. Like they're, for example, against Ole Miss, Jackson Dart had Trey Harris a couple times on some deep balls, and Trey Harris is incredible. So,
yeah.
But still, like, they've hit him. I know Ryan Williams for Alabama dropped a walk-in touchdown from about 40 yards out. Like, they've been able to be beat over the top. But the thing is, in recent games, you know, they haven't even been tested, really, because teams just run the ball on them. So,
yeah.
I do think it is going to be a balancing act here. I'm interested to see how Lagway looks with the hamstring, and I'm obviously with Badger makes a huge difference, because I you know, at full strength, this Florida offense should be you know, better than what it has been in spots, and so I do think there's some ability for Florida to score the ball.
Now the injuries, we'll go back to the other side. How much do you feel like that's going to be LSU's game plan, is to attack Florida secondary? The injuries have been well documented, especially at the cornerback position. Florida's had to move one of their starting safeties there to deal with all the injuries. I mean, should we expect another game from Nussmeier where he's throwing 45, 50 attempts?
I think Brian Kelly, first of all, has been adamant about trying to get some sort of balance. And so I think they're going to try to bang their head on the wall and get some sort of run game here. Ideally, Nussmeier doesn't have to throw it 45 times, but in basically every situation that they've had, whether it's Ole Miss, Alabama, A&M, he's just had to. So I think it depends how the game script goes. But I do think, even though I'm not as high on LSU's receivers or weapons overall this year, they still have some playmakers with Kyron Lacy and CJ Daniels, and Chris Hilton's coming back, and Aaron Anderson's been good this year. So I think just in general, watching Florida and having seen them play, you know, Quinn Ewers and Cam Ward, Carson Beck. I know Beck threw some interceptions as always, but still, I think Nussmeier is able to have some success through the air. Whether they need him to or not, yeah, I think he's just going to rack up those yards. Like I could see him getting over 300 yards just because I think they have enough playmakers to challenge this, like you said, a hampered Florida secondary.
Now, before we get into players to watch and then Matt's keys to the game, I just want to get your overall thoughts on Brian Kelly to this point in his tenure. I was talking to Andy Staples this week, and he said that this is a more important game for Brian Kelly and LSU than it is for Florida and Billy Napier. Do you agree with that? And what type of pressure, or what would the temperature rise to in Baton Rouge if he loses a third straight game Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, you would know the Billy Napier side of it better than I would, but I think considering, you know, what the AD and for Florida and everything that they've done over there in terms of saying that they've supported him, I think enough in recent weeks. I think for Brian Kelly, this is a year where things have not gone right, but I don't know what exactly his expectations were. Now, to get to the point about how like upset LSU would be, I think it would be very valid, because you very well could have lost the South Carolina game. You very well could have lost the Ole Miss games. And now you go on the road to Florida, a Florida team that is extremely beat up and has not had a great year. If you lose this game, then it's like, who are we actually better than? Like, if LSU and Ole Miss played again, I'm not taking LSU. If LSU and South Carolina played again, I would not feel very comfortable in that game. So against all the good teams you've played, like, Arkansas win is the only one that you have that's really been impressive. So you need to start stacking up some impressive results at some point. Last year, you know, was the defense was terrible. Offense was good, whatever. So back-to-back 9-3 seasons in the regular season. And at the very least now, they need to reach that mark. If you end the year at 8-4, God forbid 7-5, I mean, then it becomes, is there enough talent on this roster and how do you fix that? Because Brian Kelly has not proven to this point that he's been able to elevate them past where they need to be. So I don't think it'd be like a hot seat situation. I mean, he signed like a 10-year contract. It's very much a, you know, how these SEC coaches are with their contracts. He's not going anywhere till like at earliest, like 27, 28. So he's not getting fired, but still it would definitely plant some seeds of doubt in there if they're not able to at least get back to 9-3.
For sure. Before we get to our next segment, I want to give a shout out to MyPerfectFranchise.net. If you're ready to leave the corporate rat race for the American dream, looking for a side hustle while working your current job, wanting to diversify, build wealth, and or leave a legacy, Andy can help. He's a franchise consultant as well as a franchise owner and helps people find franchises that fit their skill sets, financial requirements, time to commit, and more. His services are 100% free. And he's here to help. If you have any questions about business ownership, you can learn more and contact Andy anytime at MyPerfectFranchise.net or calling him and texting him at 404-973-9901. Now, Matthew, you've already mentioned probably some of these guys, but who are some players that you feel like Florida fans need to watch for on Saturday on both sides of the ball that could give the Gators some fits?
Yeah, I'll go with going back to that point of LSU trying to run the ball. I think Caden Durham, I'm not sure how many people in the SEC know about him because he is a freshman, but he's by far LSU's best running back. You know, you look at his performance against South Carolina, that really started things. And then even, you know, on throughout the season, I think he's by far been the most explosive player LSU has on the offense. So I mentioned the limitations at receiver maybe in terms of explosiveness, but Caden Durham at running back is a guy who if the LSU can get rolling on the ground, it'll be Caden Durham getting 15 plus carries and really feeding him, because he is an explosive player with his track speed. At receiver, yeah, I mean, I'll go back to Kyren Lacy. I think he is the best receiver here, and he's been inconsistent. He hasn't taken the jump that I think most people wanted him to take. Like, I was hoping he could take that, I don't want to say like Malik Nabers type jump or anything like that, but that is, you know, get into that maybe being a top 10 receiver in the country. And I don't think he's really reached that level yet. So, but he's still a very good player, and they'll target him a lot. So those are two on offense that I would say are the most likely to have big games.
And then what about on the defensive side of the ball?
Defensively, if we assume, if Lagway is limited at all to being in the pocket a little bit more, I think Swinson is going to be able to get some pressure here. I think Swinson's just, he kind of slowed down since the start of the year, since the first half of the year, where he was like, gosh, I don't remember the stats. He had like 8 sacks in the first 6 games or something like that. I think he slowed down a bit, but still a very capable player. And then Whit Weeks at linebacker. I think Alabama kind of overwhelmed LSU physically, which really negated their linebacker play. But I think against Florida, similar to what it was against Arkansas, Whit Weeks should have a little bit more freedom here. So at linebacker. So those are the two I'd say are the biggest playmakers on the defense.
No doubt, no doubt. And then as we get into our keys to the game, what do you feel like it looks like on the LSU side? What do the Tigers have to do in this matchup, and also just trying to improve on some things that, that have been weaknesses for them recently.
Yeah, the biggest area of concern for LSU throughout this season has been in the red zone. I wrote in my Keys to the Game story, actually, that, you know, finishing in the red zone is number one. And it sounds cliche, like, oh, yeah, score touchdowns in the red zone. But LSU has been really, really bad in that area. And 39 trips, they've scored rushing touchdowns only 11 times. It's the lowest percentage of any top 25 team, second lowest in the SEC. They cannot run the ball inside the 20, and it really makes it hard for them to score. So if Florida's going to win the game, that you start there. You start withholding them to three, like Alabama did early in the game, like Ole Miss did early in that game. A&M did it actually several times. Like LSU should have been up more than they were at half. Like LSU has to finish drives, and if not, you leave the door open for Florida at home to really, you know, stay in the game and just sure. find some life here. So that's my number one thing. We've talked about, you know, stopping the Florida rushing attack. I think that's huge, whether Lagway runs or not. And then for Nussmeier, it's kind of just against a Florida defense, I think has been shaken. Like you said, has been moving around pieces. I think he doesn't have to force as many throws here. I think he should be able to take some of the easier stuff and just kind of keep the chains moving. So those are kind of my keys, what I'm looking for from LSU's perspective in terms of what they need to do to win this game.
For sure. And then a final thing from you, Matthew, just, I don't know if you guys have made predictions yet at the Bengal Tiger, but what are your thoughts on this game? How do you see it playing out? And in your mind, maybe how could it go one way or the other?
Yeah, it's, I think from LSU's perspective, I'm not confident that they are, like I said at the beginning, I'm not confident they are a, you know, top 20 team that they can just step on the field in the Swamp and roll over, you know, Florida here. But I do have concerns from, you know, from Florida's side in terms of their injuries and, we'll, you know, all the things we've talked about already. But like, so this is definitely two beat up fighters just getting in a ring and just seeing who's still standing at the end of it. I do think Garrett Nussmeier has a strong performance. I think they're able to pass the ball pretty effectively here. And if they can take a lead, I think LSU can kind of pull away or maybe at least take a little bit of control here. So I'm going to take Garrett Nussmeier and LSU. You could tell me a billion scores and I would believe it. I do think it's a little lower scoring. I think the total was at like 56 or 56
yeah,
and a half.
55 and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody, all five of us on the staff picked the under in some capacity. So yeah, I think it's a little bit lower scoring, especially if Florida, you know, wants to control the time and, you know, keep the LSU offense off the field. But I do think LSU is able to get it done with Nussmeier, and we'll see how it goes. But again, this is definitely is not a confident pick. it might just be a hope that LSU is able to bounce back after two straight losses.
Last thing, what would you say is the state of this rivalry right now? I know LSU's on the winning streak, but where does this one rank for LSU fans, and how important do you feel like it is for them to keep it going?
Yeah, it's funny because from LSU's perspective, without like a true, you know, single rivalry game, you know, like Florida has Florida State and Mississippi has Mississippi State, all that stuff, Auburn, Alabama, without having that in-state rival that you know, really, really hate, it's, we always ask, like, who's the main rival to the fans? And you get so many different responses. I think there's some recency bias. People really hate Ole Miss right now on LSU's side. Mm. People don't like A&M. They never like A&M. Alabama's in there as well. But Florida is definitely in that top group. My point is saying it's like there are so many games where LSU just fans just hate the other team and the other fans that – every game feels like a rivalry game almost. So, yeah, this will definitely be another big one. I think the state of the rivalry is in a good spot. Especially, you know, I think there is an added element of like Billy Napier being over there from Louisiana.
Sure.
And if Florida, you know, wins this game, then they'll just have that to laugh at LSU about with Brian Kelly losing another one. So the rivalry is good. I think it's definitely interesting from LSU's perspective, navigating a whole season where you have like four or five rivalry games.
Yeah, I mean, Florida's in the same boat. They got a lot of rivals. And this one too. There's, I feel like, Florida, even maybe because of Napier's background in Louisiana, they have landed more Louisiana players as of late. And of course, you know, LSU is always going to recruit the state of Florida. Do you know if the Tigers, if there's a running rivalry that they've played longer than Florida LSU?
Mississippi State? Haven't they played like – I'd have to double check that. But I want to say they've played like a lot. I think I remember looking that up. They've met 117 times, LSU and Mississippi State.
Yeah, because Florida and LSU, man, they've kept their series going pretty regularly the last few decades. And I hope it gets to continue. I love making the trip out to Death Valley. It's always an excuse to go stay in New Orleans.
You're right. It's it was the Ole Miss game was about as peak Tiger Stadium as you could get, and then you got the opposite end of that when the Alabama game, where Alabama took the absolute life out of the stadium in the first two quarters. So yeah, we get both ends of the spectrum. Pretty fun.
Yeah, and that usually does not happen in Tiger Stadium.
That's their first night loss under Brian Kelly, and you know, obviously at night they're usually winning those games, and now they got ran out the building.
Well, they ran Florida out of the building last year in Death Valley. We'll see what happens on Saturday with this rivalry renewed. 3:30 p.m. In the Swamp on ABC. Matthew, let folks know where they can follow you and read your work.
Yeah, the Bengal Tiger on 3. If you're subscribed to, you know, Florida on 3 site, you can go over, click on, you can't post on our message board, but you can go check out all our content for LSU versus Florida, and look at things from our perspective. Our predictions are up on the site, everything like that. So, yeah, Bengal Tiger on 3. Go check us out.
Yeah, and Matthew, he covers hoops as well. So if you guys are looking to see what the Tigers got on the court, he's got you guys covered there as well. So
yeah, big win over Kansas State. So LSU's getting back to being a respectable basketball program.
Yeah, we'll see what Florida State has in store on Friday night in Tallahassee. Matthew, appreciate the time, man. Always great being joined by you. Good luck with your coverage this weekend, and we'll see you soon down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Zach.
All right, for Matthew Bruni, I'm Zach Alberverdi. We'll see you guys with our rapid reaction on Saturday from the Swamp.